Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
You may have heard me talk about Burt Nutrition before. My family and I started Burt Nutrition because of our collective passion for health and wellness and to help people lose weight and just feel better about themselves. Who doesn't want to feel better about themselves? So right now, I'm just going to take a minute to talk to you about our staple product, our grass-fed whey protein that's available at burtnutrition.com. We created a high-quality, healthy, pure protein supplement without an ingredient list full of junk. Our grass-fed whey protein is all natural, hormone-free. It has the nutritional components your body needs to build muscle and lose weight. So stop buying just any protein powder on the shelf, especially if it has a ton of ingredients you can't read. Our grass-fed whey protein is low-carb, naturally sweetened with stevia, and has 23 grams of power-packed protein in every scoop, and it tastes amazing. Whether you're looking for a nutritious snack or a meal replacement with one of our awesome shake recipes, which include apple pie, pumpkin spice, and cinnamon roll, just to name a few, or you just want to include more protein in your diet, which we all need, try our great-tasting grass-fed whey protein. We have vanilla and we have chocolate, and it's awesome. Use the code SCJ15 for 15% off right now at burtnutrition.com. Use the code SCJ15 for 15% off today.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
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 Oh, dude, that's awesome.
That's
awesome.
Really awesome.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Oh, awesome.
That's
awesome.
With Stephen Bradford. Stephen B!
What up, Bradford A?
Oh, dude, this is exciting. So we're excited to talk to a certain fellow today, and he's going to be calling in. This is like our live radio show that we've always wanted, dude.
I know, and now it's happening. This is the call-in number. I had to give him the call-in number, so it's hilarious. I can't wait to see if it works.
Oh, if only we just had a producer at the board being able to just patch him in.
That's you.
Oh, shoot.
we'll wait for him to call in, but how you doing, dude?
I'm good, dude. I'm good. We have a very big weekend coming up, so that's obviously exciting.
Oh, dude, we got a big week coming up.
Oh, yeah, we got a lot going on.
It's a lot, but it's going to be fun.
Yes.
So I'm trying not to get overwhelmed.
Right.
With the amount of work that we have coming up next week.
Well, I mean, obviously your work week is slightly different from mine because you're doing a bunch of the GH.
Yeah, a lot of GH. The most I think I've ever done in a week.
Have you looked at your words? You have a lot of words.
Dude, I have a lot of freaking words, dude.
Really?
Yes. 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 It's going to be, it's good stuff. I mean, it's all good stuff. It's good story. It's fun.
You know what? I was going to ask a dumb question. Is it like dramatic or fun? When does Jason ever do fun?
Well, it's a lot of the Cyrus stuff, right?
Oh, sure.
That's kind of, that whole storyline's kind of revving up a little bit. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on there. So it's doing a lot of scenes that have intention. Let's just say that, right? As opposed to just kind of either filler or recap, we're doing some good stuff. So
some things that are moving forward.
Yeah.
That is fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. I can't help but notice that you didn't call Spinelli for any tech assistance.
Hold on.
Is Brick there?
I might have.
Oh, you called?
No, I mentioned you last week, I think.
Thanks.
And I think I mentioned you this week.
Thanks.
So if that's not, I'll just throw it in.
Yeah, right. Well, but here's the thing. Now that I'm in town, you can reference me in a less pointed way and say that I'm doing something for you and I don't have to be on camera.
Well, yeah, but the point is, let's get you on camera. So what's going to happen is I'm going to keep adding you to scenes
until they're established in this scene. So yeah, you know what you should say, dude, is, you know, Cyrus, when I see you tomorrow, I'm going to have my master hacker with me. So yeah, we'll see you then. So then they have to write me into the next episode.
They'll be like, Steve, that's enough with you and Bradford. You guys are done. Stop. That's so funny, dude.
I'm excited for you. It's always fun to be busy. But yes, I know one of your busiest days is Friday, which is, oh, we have a caller. We have a caller.
Woohoo!
All right. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Max Gale's with us, ladies and gentlemen. How are you, Max?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
We're great. We were just talking about how we feel like we're old radio show hosts now because we're just like waiting for a caller to call in. It feels very old fashioned. I love it.
Stepping off the plank there.
That's right.
Yes, exactly.
Max, thank you first for joining us. We appreciate that for sure.
My pleasure. I remember the last time that we all talked together. Of course, you and I talked yesterday, Steve, but I had a good time. I got to blab on. You let me go on and on, which I am not the soundbite sort of guy, but let me say that whenever it's time to wrap it up, you know.
Okay. Good to know. We can pull out the cane and just pull you out.
That's right.
Amazing. So I mean, now we can say, looking back, because I mean, you have officially wrapped your time on the show. I mean, what are your kind of, your general feelings about that 2 years? Looking back, how does it feel to be done with it?
I think, well, for one thing, I think it was more like 2 years and 8 months.
Oh, wow.
I think something like that. But anyway, I'm in a sort of suspended, I see transition space. So there's a part of me that, you know, look to just move on and what's next and who am I now? And I can start standing up straight more and pay more attention to, you know, because I just, you know, always, I did feel there was a certain amount of, those are things that maybe Mike did in the beginning. He walked all over the place, but, you know, in general, it's not anyway, there's that, you know, I pay more, more attention to not, you know, to not spacing out, all those things. At the same time, I feel like I'm, you know, a part of something that has this long history that I never really, you know, fully appreciated, certainly not in the way that I do now, and a part of a community. And you know, there is a little sort of kind of door that stays open from, you know, Frank saying, no, we're not quite done with you yet, and people having all kinds of ideas, none of which really make sense to me. Mike's twin brother, I say, like, I say, you know, that would be a different character, a different person, a different story. That would just, you know, don't confuse what we all did together with, you know, like, you know, but I do sometimes say, you know, I could be his twin sister since I have a twin sister. I think that, you know, maybe, you know,
you'd make a fetching woman, Max.
You know, all in all, it was, I'll let that go without, okay, that's a fetch. You know, one time in high school in a dare with my brother, we dressed up as women and went with my dad and my five sisters to the Rotary father and daughter.
That's amazing.
By the time we were downtown in our wigs and our whole outfits and everything, you know, on the elevator, and people were looking at us sideways, and other people we were passing, and you know, we were going like, "What in the f- made us think?"
Was it just for fun, or was there going to be like free food that you wanted?
No, it was, you know, I mean, I grew up, my dad was involved with Rotary, and so we had the father and son and father and daughter, and it was something, and I don't really quite know where that idea came from, you know, other than we were like, let's see if we can pull it off.
Fun.
And I remember showing up then later back and, you know, at the track meet, and I couldn't get all the lipstick off my, you know, still was dead a little.
That's awesome.
But anyway, you know, it was an extraordinary experience. I think I learned a lot about life and certainly what's going on with families and Alzheimer's and other, you know, issues. And I learned so much from people on the cast and crew who had their own experiences, you know, and I learned a huge amount about acting, you know, and being in the moment. And, you know, it was just a great experience. And so I love that I'm still talking about it.
Well, you know, what's funny, Max, what you said about, you know, the conversations about how could this possibly be extended? And that is always kind of a persistent topic of conversation in daytime as how, you know, like when you have something that works, boy, do you want it to work for as long as it can. And sometimes that desire to make it last as long as you can diminishes the story, right? Some stories are not meant to be year-long stories. They're meant to be six-month stories. They're meant to be, yeah, you know, nine-month stories. And
yeah,
looking back on what ended up being your arc, how do you feel about that arc? Was the time that two years, 8 months, did that feel about right?
I mean, I think it sure ended up right, and it ended up in a balance, because while some people are ready for it to be over, you know, and there is a larger percentage of people dealing with dementia and Alzheimer's that goes on for a long time, you know.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I think that in that way of honoring that, I think that, you know, on that last day, in a short part of the conversation with Frank, and now I can't say her name, the wonderful actress who plays the nurse, that I had the wonderful set of scenes with her in the chapel.
Becky?
Yeah. Totally blank, because she was just wonderful and it was a great experience and stuff. And she came over and, you know, we shared that. And
it's awesome.
And Frank said, yeah, that's when we decided that we needed to, you know, that there were more legs on this story than we had in mind. So they were coming up with ways to keep Mike involved. You know, I had buried the body, you know, and there was a part of that I'm going, I physically redug a grave, you know. I mean, I've used a shovel a lot, you know what I mean? I worked road crews and stuff, you know what I mean? It was like, and lifted that body out of the grave, maybe even if it was a shallow grave, and carried it and put it in the trunk of my car, you know, and drove it up somehow because of the idea this was going to be, you know what I mean? Where there were some things that were just really, really a stretch, and there were things about, you know, not knowing when I'm telling him, I remember, I don't know what I remember, you know what I mean? And Mike spent a lot of time not knowing things, so it wasn't just that, but so there was a stretch in there with the marriage, you know, that I just felt like we were on another kind of ground. And I do feel that, while, you know, every form of, you know, whether it's, you know, the hipness of HBO and Netflix or primetime TV or big films or small, you know, everything has its own conceits, you know, its own suspension of disbelief and all of that. And so does the real world. It's just, look at what's going on. You know, it's just weird as anything.
Yes.
And so, you know, but I feel like there was something rooted in the Alzheimer's experience that gave everybody something to, you know, when Mo and I talked once, you know, because he doesn't like it to get too big. And I say, well, you know, I don't know if there's a right and wrong, you know, and a lot of things like that, just not knowing and exploring, but caring. And it drew together all the people that were drawn into that circle with a chance. Steve, I remember, you know, you doing the scene with the earthquake, and, you know, like great theater, you know, I mean, it was happening, and it was happening in your plane, and, you know, so without the great big fancy expensive production benefits, right, that would have turned the scene into a week's work, you know, so that can be done. As actors, we know that, you know, and at the same time, there is something about that wonderful involvement with soaps around the village gossip, what's going on, the kind, you know, and the chops that people bring to it is extraordinary, and commitment and all of that, you know, everybody all the way around.
Yeah.
And, so that's really, that's an incredible thing. But with this particular story, I think it gave people a chance to be more, you know, sincere.
Yeah. I mean, it's
in a certain way. No.
Yeah, I told you yesterday that first of all, when somebody's perfectly cast, like Mark Teschner has this magic touch of finding people. Like, I can't even imagine anyone else coming in and doing what you did, but bringing the energy, the depth of acting that you have, and having that connection with Maurice, that just made this story. You couldn't take your eyes off you guys, right? And it's like, even just walking around the building, anytime I see you guys together, I'm like, I got to watch this scene. And it's so awesome to see, because General Hospital does a great job with social issues, right? And stories.
Yes.
But this has to be one of the greatest stories that they told. And, you know, I know you don't like to take a lot of credit and you're very humble, but
no, I think I'm pretty realistic.
Well, but Max, I mean, the job that you did coming in here, and cause Brad, like I told you before, Bradford and I, we were doing a 4-hour hang with some fans, and people bring it up all the time and they thank us. They're like, thank you guys for doing it. I go, thank Max Gale and General Hospital, because they're the ones who brought this story, alive and touched so many people. I don't remember a story touching this many people, Bradford.
Well, and I can't recall an instance on Twitter or anywhere in social media where they're like, my God, this Alzheimer's storyline just keeps dragging on. No, like I didn't hear anyone have that reaction.
Nobody could.
Where normally, no matter how good the story is, if it's a storyline that has been played for a while, somebody's going to say, hey, I'm tired of seeing this. I didn't hear that once anywhere, which I would say is probably a first.
Well, that's very cool. That's better than, you know, you might consider another line of work, or don't ever do that in public again. Or, I think, you know, that has a lot to do with all the things we were just saying. But yes, Mo and I were alive, you know, together right from the first reading.
Yeah.
You know, right from when we started, and I'm looking at him and just taking that moment, you know. So, and he has that gift with a lot, and you guys support. I mean, the way it's people asked me about humor the other day in another phone conversation I was in and stuff, you know, and that there can be a lot of tension on comedy sets, but I mean, the way you guys tease each other has always got that honoring under it, you know, of when we actually get these moments that we get to do the work.
Right.
You know, we're there and they're in that moment. And, So, I found that kind of with everybody else too, as it unfolded, you know, and so that was, you know, very cool.
Hey,
very
Max, cool. I'm curious, during the shutdown, during that break of however many months, you know, obviously you're used to coming in and out of work, but once you get used to our kind of schedule and then you had to kind of put it down for 4 or 5 months, how was that for you?
Well, it was good. You know, my life is full. It seems, especially around the moment, you know, the now. I mean, I can look back and say, now, what was I doing last month? And I can look ahead and say, oh yeah, I'm wide open, you know, but right around now, there's always a lot going on. So I don't get anywhere near done the kind of things I'm thinking I'd like to, you know, get organized, from my taxes to my music to, you know, right, whatever. So that part was good. I there was a while there where I thought, well, now if I was running this deal, I'd say, let's say that Mike very sadly got COVID and he passed away, but nobody was able to get in and see him.
Oh gosh.
No way, man. After all that groundwork you laid, that would have been a pretty low note to go out on.
Yeah,
no, I wasn't. No, I was just trying to gear up for in case, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, sure. Yeah, sure.
Well, that's true too.
But
I think we all were.
Well, I mean, who knows? I mean, if ABC had said, hey, you're not coming back, it would have been like, poor Charles, everybody got COVID. Everyone's dead.
Well, then, yeah, there's that. That's an interesting one too, isn't it? You know, the decision to not acknowledge it at all. And I haven't seen anything about that, although it is a strange feeling in a way to think, oh, wait a minute, now this is General Hospital. And, you know, but that gets into then how politicized the virus has become.
Sure. There
could be incredible stories to tell of vast consequence, you know,
sure.
One of them being pissing somebody off, you know, so I think it was the right decision.
Sure.
You know,
yeah,
but interesting there in masks, right? You know, did you notice that when you rehearse with a mask on, you're kind of connecting in a somewhat different way, you know?
It is. It's all about the eyes. And, you know, like it is amazing, you know, depending on who you're working with, some people have more active eyes than other people is something,
yes.
You know, and it is fun. I was doing a scene, I was rehearsing with Kirsten, who plays Maxie, and I don't need to see what her mouth does to know what she's thinking or feeling, because she sears her looks into me, and that was fascinating. And it was a completely novel experience, but it made complete sense at the same time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Coming back to Mike after the shutdown, was it challenging to get back into him, or were you so comfortable in his skin and in his posture and like that it just kind of you fell back into it pretty quick?
Yeah, I think that I did. I intentionally, you know, tried to kind of keep that hang on to whatever, you know, that thread that you feel, that connection back to somebody that's become another you.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, so you know, I can't even remember right now what the scene was that we did. It took me a while to just sort of get a sense of rhythm, and a lot of it is, when is that point where you get a chance to kind of say or question or focus a look in on something in the scene that if you had more rehearsal time, you might all be talking about or something, but there's just that moment where you see there's a great big unspoken something here that we seem to have been blocked right past it. Like it's just going with that sort of rhythm of the dialogue, you know, but there's actually, that's what the scene's about, you know, and just that little where that is, which sometimes is a self-resolve,
yes.
You know? You don't even have to say it, but that's what I guess you were asking about. And yeah, it took a little while to get in that groove, you know, for everybody, because you're also thinking about the mass and all that.
Sure.
But much of what I did was laying in bed, you know, just trying to remain active in that state, you know, and explore that state and try to hold that space, kind of like what you do when you're off camera in a single camera, you know, where it's somebody's close up, but you know, some actors they're done by then, they're giving you the lines, but they're gone, you know, and others are right there, you know, sometimes that's your best work is on the other side.
Yeah, right. When you're not overthinking what you're doing in the present. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Max, I don't watch the show often. But I saw on social media, you know, Alicia Lee Willis, who was on the show years ago, who plays Courtney, who's the one who kind of took you to heaven.
Yeah. Oh yes.
It looked visually, it looks so amazing. Like how they did it. Did you see the end result of it?
I did.
Yeah. I thought they did a really great job, man. It was so touching. It was just like, I thought it couldn't have been better.
Yeah, well, first of all, she had this beautiful energy, you know, and Maurice said that's pretty much what she looked like when she left the show, you know,
pretty much,
was so present and generous and loving and gorgeous and you know, and all of that. And I felt actually, one of the things that happened was that, you know, I had this thought that I hadn't had a chance to talk about, but that at some point, Mike, because my sweetheart has been what they call these days an energy healer, but she's been doing, she works, she sees other things that other people see, but not everybody sees, you know? And, sometimes somebody that's, you know, been a friend of mine on
you know, with very little time left in the hospital. But she sees him sitting there as a young man next to his, you know. So there is, anyway, something about, you know, and asks, it seems like I should get, would be good to get a change in here when he actually is out of, gets out of bed.
Oh,
and
interesting.
So I asked the director, he said, oh, yeah, we're going to do that. But by then, they were really working on the light and getting the light effect right and everything like that. So it came to that moment. Okay, so 5 minutes, everybody, and I'm heading to the door going, I can't get my other wardrobe, get changed, get my pale makeup, which is real greasy and stuff, you know, washed off, get into makeup, get, you know, I can't do that in 5 minutes. I'll do my best, you know. And as I'm getting that and winding up, I'm hearing Greg or whoever PA, Max, yeah, we need you on the set, buddy. You know, So where is the transition where he looked back? Because I knew they were shooting it in a way he could see himself and sees what's going on, where he really puts that and sees his clothes and, you know, and then really recognizes Courtney and ties into the moment in the earlier scene with Laura, that where I'd said, you know, when Courtney died, I thought my heart died with her, you know, and just that there was that moment. And it was like, when will the audience, when will everyone see that he's in some other wardrobe, you know, and just in that moment, take it in that moment. But we just shot by it because it was like, we are now, you know, when you come on the set, everybody's waiting for you.
Sure.
You know, you're just trying not to fall down. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Am I going to wear the hat? So on and so forth. You know? So I felt it was missed. And it really, and I thought at that point, that was what I knew to be the last scene. And I didn't just take it home with me until the next morning or something like that. That just lingered with me. The missing such a moment, you know, instead of just go, oh, hi, Courtney, nice to see you, you know, but actually it flowed so well. You know, I mean, all of my inspiration was based on what they had created anyway. And I thought it was beautifully done. And she, her beautiful energy made it all work, but it was a wonderful concept to go ahead and try to make and keep it as simple as possible, but still be effective. It was, you know, and the part with him turning and talking to Mo, well, that was just, again, just kind of there when the writing's wonderful, you know, you're just looking to find it and mean it and be with it. You know, it's there. Well, that whole concept, I think, of being on the scientist-y side of death and at the same time, these other dimensions that we don't talk about in the modern world, you know, sort of thing.
Sure.
Today's episode of That's Awesome is brought to you by Best Fiends.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Best Fiends is our favorite casual mobile game.
Well, you know what happened, right?
I
was catching up to you finally, right?
Yeah.
And my whole phone went dead. I had to do a factory reset, and it didn't go back because I didn't ever log in. I played as a guest, which was stupid.
Oh, that is dummy, dummy stuff.
It's horrible. But the fun part is starting over, now I know how to play the game better.
Oh, my gosh, you're right. So you're probably zipping through.
So now it's easy. It's like I don't need to buy any gold. I don't need nothing. So now it's like I know what to do. So it's awesome.
That is that's a gift in a way. And let me tell you why. Because there's something, the satisfaction of clearing levels is, I mean, because like, you know, getting away from your day-to-day worries, you know, obviously, especially now, we all have them. We have them all in normal times, but especially now. Yeah. So, you know, if something's, you know, your kid annoys the heck out of you, whatever, job's getting you down, you need a break, right? And then you can go clear a few levels of Best Fiends.
It's awesome, yeah.
Our favorite 5-star rated mobile game.
It's free to download, by the way.
That is free to download.
Anybody who's wondering. And there's 100 million downloads, which you can't, 100 million downloads can't go wrong. So, come on. If you haven't tried this game yet, just try the game. You'll get hooked. It's going to be awesome.
Well, and you know, one of our favorite things about it is the seasonal aspect of it. Meaning, every season, every holiday, they update this game so much. Every time you open it up, it looks like a brand new game. And of course, now it's Halloween.
Yeah, buddy.
All the bugs got their costumes on. It's so cute. It's so cute.
Amazing.
So not only will you love the gameplay, but you'll love the amazing visuals. And I've cleared. I'm in the 300-400s now. And I saw a
listener, she was like, it's 600 or 700.
So
I was like, she's crushing Bradford.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the truth is the fun never ends. There are 5,000 levels and counting. And there's always another update, whether it's more levels, fun changes to the game. Don't blame us if you kind of get obsessed. What are you going to do? So download Best Fiends free today on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R.
Yes, it is. Best Fiends.
Damn right. I'm curious, obviously you found a way to portray this condition, this disease, and whatever your resources for that were, you did that for a while. How did you approach the decline? And then the inevitable, massive decline towards the end. Is that something that was kind of a natural flow from where you were playing that before? Or did you have to really think about, not just the emotional part of it, but like the practical part of portraying it the way you wanted to?
Yeah. All right. Well, first comes to mind is my son at one point said, well, just keep smoking dope, Dad. You'll be all right. But actually, I had done a play a few years back for, I think, 6 or 8 weeks called The Prodigal Father, written by a gay playwright who did the Celebration Theater down in Hollywood. A wonderful play. Kind of autobiographical on his part. He was a big guy, looked like he could have played, certainly high, top college football. And he was from Tennessee, and his dad was a fellow who was very much church oriented in his social life, but his real life and spiritual life was in the woods. Mm-hmm. And, their background was in a little kind of flashback scene that opened to play where I'm his dad and he's a young boy and we've got a coon tree and I'm saying, there he is right there, pull the trigger, shoot him, and he can't do it. So that's a way that then, this is his early life. Now it's the evening of the first time he's had a real serious production of one of his plays. And he comes back after the party and finds his roommate is there and his father has shown up and his father has dementia of some kind. And he's arrived because he's found himself, he knows he kind of comes to in certain cases where he's scared the shit out of somebody or, turned some tables or something, he knows he's capable of doing something when he's not present. And he's there to ask his son to be sure to take him out before he takes somebody else out. Mm. And that was the play. So I had that to work on, to explore those spaces, being really somewhere else. And I guess I had my first play was Chief Bromden in One Floor of the Cuckoo's Nest. There was an element of, a catatonic kind of, anyway, I had something there to start with. And then right around the time that it started to get to how do I do tap into this behavior, I had agreed to be an ambassador for a group that reached out to me called Project Lifesaver International. It was formed by cops who eventually retired from Compton to keep this going. It's like 20 years old. And basically what they do is they use the technology for tracking wildlife, to track people who might wander or go off on their own mission. Mm. People with dementia, sometimes autism.
Wow.
And, that they had that for Mike at his around the house and stuff, but this works through police departments and communities. And so I was there at the first, their 20-year anniversary conference or whatever. And one of the panels had four people on the panel and then another guy on the big screen. who was a man in his early 50s who is the head of an Alzheimer's group, but also has early onset Alzheimer's. And I got to watch him in his presentation and then his whole reaction through the whole thing. And that was very helpful in him saying, you know, so things are growing darker and darker around me, you know, as he's explaining and sharing, you know, what's going on. And then they had some people there who go around the country training police departments in what's going on for people that have these deficits happening. So they would put you in heavy coat and gloves and hat and glasses that kind of gave you no peripheral vision, and earphones that had kind of random babbles going on, and in a room with a coat rack and some luggage and some pharmaceuticals out and stuff. And they give you one time four directions for you to put the red sweater in the blue suitcase and count out three green pills and three blue pills, you know, that you really can't even hold on to what those are. And there's this talking going on in your ear, and there's all, you have 15 wow. minutes to try to do that. And then they take all that away. You go in the next room with the trainers and in the more, you know, institutional training setting. And they go over, you know, facts and statistics and share and draw out people sharing their experience. And that was really helpful to me. It really gave me like, oh, I get it. You know, things that you think, oh, who could not see that? Right, you know, and right. these are to help the cop is going, I just told you, you can't stand here or something, you know, to realize, no, they're, you know, so.
That's an interesting simulation for sure. Right. I mean, man, to be in that situation, just whether it's a family member or so, just a friend, and to go through that and have a simulation, I'm glad they do that, because then you can kind of sort of understand what people are dealing with. And it's,
yeah, you can approach it with a little more empathy, because you understand
totally
what it is. Yeah. And wow, yeah, because you're right, there are some, I can imagine there are frustrations when simple things aren't recognized, and but not truly.
Oh, man. Get driven to the wall.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's like it's just, you know, I mean, it's just tragic and awful how some people will behave, and they've regressed to, you know, 13 or 9 or whatever. And
yeah.
And, you know, so anyway, that's what I did. What I love about just this conversation and the relationships is that while there's not a whole lot of precious actor talk around people doing it, you know, everybody's doing their work. Mm. And right. there's an interest in that. And there's, you know, and, work is the word we use. It isn't quite the same as, you know, other than when you get into any kind of task, even a really physical task, when you get into it, you've dropped into a zone, you know, that flow state.
Yeah, sure. But for sure.
In some ways it's more like a flight, you know?
Yeah, or totally a dance, is. Or,
you know?
Yeah. It's, go ahead, Brad.
Well, now that maybe, you know, who knows, we may see Mike in certain situations, but in terms of like looking forward for Max, if your next job is a single cam, are you going to be radically impatient with everybody, or is it going to be a relief to have some time to think about what you're doing?
Well, I certainly hope that, because I've never had a difficult time with lines if I really had understood what was going on there, you know. But I did find it a lot with Mike when he would be really out, you know. It wasn't just like I wanted to cross my eyes or something, you know. So we'd say okay, and they'd count down, you know, and I'd kind of, you know, do that phase shift into that other state, and then it was like, I don't know what my line is. This is the first line. I just heard it, you know, but it's gone.
Right. Yeah.
So I hope that goes away. But, you know, I did have something happen right away that really felt good. I got a call from my agent, and there was a part in the film. I don't know a lot about the film, but it was a several scenes shot in one day, set back in some time. And the character was kind of like inspired by at least John Ford. And it involved him in a restaurant big old time, you know, industry hang restaurant where he sees what was once one of his young people he gave a first lead to who has become a huge star. And that was being played by Sean Penn. And I know Sean, I worked with Sean, but I know him because I knew his dad and his mom, and I knew him and out and living out in Point Doom. And so I know him on a number of levels, you know. I did a film that his dad wrote and directed, you know. So I thought, well, that's cool. And it was pretty interesting. And I looked up John, you know, and he's like, if you can get this stuff tomorrow, because they've been looking all over and they haven't found him. And that sometimes can be a good way to come in, you know. And sure. They meet and they get drunk, and then he arranges to do a spectacular motorcycle scene out on the golf course that's behind the restaurant, and you know, and it's all a big, you know, and so I thought, this just really feels right, and here it is, a job, and it's several good scenes that's a, you know, a good this is perfect. You know, of course. Yeah. So the next morning I'm trying to figure out all the things you want. What is the restaurant? And the scene took place, you know, after an evening of drink, after they'd been drinking and kind of caught, you know, there were a whole bunch of things to ask and wonder and look for and explore, you know, and at this moment, I think I should have just said all of that and talked about what I saw going on there and let that part of me that understood that like come through instead of trying to read this one scene. But with my grandson outside the door, Grandpa, are you done yet? You know, and so I didn't get the gig. I haven't heard anything back from anybody about it since, you know, and so it was a sweet taste though of, you know, yes, doing that, that would be really cool.
Yeah.
And I think
sure.
You just pop in, but you know, whatever it is, it's still all about that presence and being present and the other people that are there, you know, clapping clappers and setting lights and everything. They're all in on the same story, especially those people on the camera. You know what I mean? You know, there is a certain something that I think is that same where inner truth, you know, through imagination kind of quest, you know.
Yeah.
I don't feel, you know. But I love the way that we can come in and rehearse and do something and put it out there and take your best shot. And you're not sitting around all day until they reset the whole scene from the other side of the room.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Should we expect to see, next time we see you, should we expect to see your hair getting back to its regular shoulder length? Or is it going to stay high and tight for the foreseeable future?
You know, basically it's like not, it happens because I don't get a haircut and I basically grow a beard because I don't feel like shaving, you know,
right.
And when it's scratchy or whatever I do. So, but at the same time, you know, there is something, you know, about the times and moving on and everything. And I, you know, there have been times where I cut my hair short and left it that way for a bit. I did that with Wojo. I had long hair, and I said, I don't know when I got offered the job. I was thinking that guy I played small college football with, you know, that we called Bullet, because he always had his hair cut real close, you know. And my girlfriend at the time had that kind of haircut. And as I was thinking about it, all of a sudden I hear the snippers, you know, and she's cutting my hair off, and that became Wojo, you know. And then as my hair got thinner and thinner and I didn't know how to deal with it, I ended up putting on a little bathing cap kind of wig that let me grow my hair longer again. And I guess I had a certain attachment to what that said about me or whatever. But
sure.
I think even though I would have to pay for a haircut now, so that may.
Well, listen, if Mike comes back as a ghost, we can't be having Mike with long hair as a ghost.
Uh-huh. No, I don't. So,
you can always tuck it back up into your to your cap. So
I think it's the particularly the fringe long hair has a certain sort of comical look, you know, that I love to love humor and I love to get laughs, but not that particular.
That's amazing. Laugh with me, not at me.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, hey, Max, man, well, we're all the better for having you with us.
Yeah, we thank you so much, man. There hasn't been anybody who's come to our show and brought so much just love and compassion and just willingness and openness as an artist that so many people could connect with. And the story, obviously, you said it yesterday on the phone to me, it takes a village to do the story for sure. But you know, you were a great leader and a great example. So I really appreciate the time that I got with you.
That is really cool. That's what I was going for. I mean, well, and I found it. I knew I just wanted to give it, you know, my all, and hoped it would be enough. And I found it, matching up all the way. So back at you, but thank you. I accept and I'm honored by what you've just shared with me, and I'll never forget it.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you for everything. Thank you for everything. And it's hopefully it's a see you later and not a goodbye.
That's right.
All right. All right. Yeah. Much love. Amen. Thank
all
you.
Right, well. Thanks, Max. Wow. It's awesome.
Yeah. We're not always there. Like, I certainly wasn't there for his funeral.
Yeah.
I wasn't there when the cast says goodbye. And, you know, that's always a special moment when, you know, someone's moving on from the show and you get that moment of goodbye. And of course now, did they do anything on stage for him?
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
they did. Okay. I wasn't sure in times of COVID if you could do that.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, man,
this was really a nice privilege to get to say all those things.
Sure was. I just don't remember a story that was so, that resonated with so many people, you know?
Yeah. I hadn't thought about that lack of what I told him about, you know, being on social media and not hearing any negativity, and not to say that I thought there should have been. It's not that. It's just,
right,
you know, normally whatever storyline you see, there's usually someone on both sides, right? It's like, oh, I love this storyline. Oh, this storyline sucks. Like, there was, and obviously when you're dealing with a medical issue or something that affects so many people in their lives, I don't think it's a storyline that it calls for that sort of opinion-based banter. But usually there's at least somebody that crosses the line into there.
And sure, sure.
And I didn't see any of it.
No. And they really did it. They did it justice, which,
yeah,
a lot of times, like you said, the ball gets dropped, you know, and then they try to pick it up and there's no momentum, or it's just going on too long. And
right,
you know, yes, somebody with Alzheimer's dementia could last 10, 15, 20 years.
Sure,
but
yeah,
this was an A storyline, and it was awesome. And they did a great job. And Maurice and Max could win an Emmy again
if they submit themselves.
If they, I'll make them.
Well, because, you know, like that, that, you know, themselves. That was an issue for this year. I know, you know, I think we talked about it before. If somebody said, you know, how come they didn't get it? And it's like, well, they took themselves out of the yeah, opportunity to give space for other people.
Yeah. Because they won the year before. So,
right. Exactly. Yeah, so I think yeah, they, so,
oh man,
here's a zag, dude. Here's a zag.
Oh, are you zagging me?
Yeah, look at that. Look what happened there.
How'd you go there, dude?
Well, because one came up today, and I just had to screen grabbed it, and it just seems like a nice way out.
Segue me out, because I was getting a little emotional with.
Yeah, you're getting a little misty. So, so okay, so on our Stone Cold and the Jackal Twitter today.
It's on there.
Yes.
Oh, and amazing!
I think it's inadvertent. It's not someone trying to be mean.
Okay.
The way I read it.
Oh, Max just texted me.
Made me laugh.
Max Gale just texted me. He goes, "I love being able to have that conversation with you guys." So
amazing.
So nice.
That's, you know, this, you know, and we have all the thanks to you guys listening. This show has given us an opportunity to have conversations that we wouldn't have otherwise, probably. And it's a real joy. It's a real joy.
Because all it's done is help us grow as people.
Yes.
Which is amazing, right?
Well, and helped us establish relationships and deepen relationships with people.
Totally.
And
absolutely,
get to know people that we wouldn't have otherwise, you know, been, had the opportunity to visit with. It's a real joy to do this.
And all right, back to mean tweets.
Yeah. Okay. So on the SCNJ Twitter page, an old picture of us on the Atlantic City boardwalk was
yes.
posted.
Yes.
Yes. And the response, and I say this, and so if you're listening, whoever wrote this, I'm not criticizing you. I'm not saying you meant to be mean, but it was just funny the way it reads.
Oh, okay.
Beeford Anderson looks incredibly young in this pic. I know that you all were younger, but at one Steve Burton hasn't changed too much. So it must be the healthy lifestyle. Basically saying, Steve looks the same. All the rest of us have aged horribly. Right? That's how it reads.
Absolutely.
God, you look so young in this pic. I know that you all were younger, but Steve hasn't changed that much. What happened to you? Guess it's the healthy lifestyle that Steve does instead of all the beer and bonbons that Bradford consumes.
Well, there's the difference. Hey, a bottle of wine a day keeps the doctor away.
There you go.
Does it?
Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That is funny.
So anyway.
Oh, man. Yeah, what a great podcast today.
That was fun. But speaking of poor Chuck, as we said at the top of the show, that's coming up this weekend. So if you care to join us, come to our Patreon page, patreon.com/stonecoldandthejackal.
Yeah, or you can go to stonecoldandthejackal.com and watch a video on our homepage that shows you how to join. And we're so looking forward to it. I'm starting to learn my songs again right now.
Well, and if you're not able to join us for karaoke, after karaoke, we're doing a Q&A, and that's for every level on Patreon. And the thing with Patreon is you can join, you can quit at any time.
No, we're going to have a great time. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. So we're super excited for it. And, thank you guys for listening.
Thank you guys so much for, listening. So we get to do cool stuff like this. We appreciate it.
For sure. All right. Have a great week.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah.
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.